Hallelujah, Jesus. David Livingston said, you know, God had one begotten son, and he made him a missionary. Hallelujah. It's not how many, the greatness of the church is not how many it seats, it's how many it sends.
Wow.
God said,
I like that.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Sometimes we get weary, but you know there's one thing that takes away all weariness. It's falling in love again with Jesus Christ. And that takes away all the weariness. Amen?
Hallelujah.
I remember when, my wife says to tell you to sit down. She wants to sit down. Sorry. Hallelujah. Yes, I know. You're right. But, you know, when you're young and you're dating and you're with your friends, you know, you're talking about that love. You're talking, oh, is she cute? Man, she made me this. She did that. And, oh, man, I just can't get the way to see her. You know, and so you're talking about this girl. And you know, and when you get a new car and you're so excited, it's just, oh man, he does this and he talks to you. And you can tell it to call somebody where you're driving down the road and all this thing. You know, and it does all these little guys, you're so excited about it because you've just fallen in love with it. But you know what? It's the same way with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When you fall in love with Jesus Christ, I mean, it's not a sacrifice. It's a delight to be able to talk about Jesus Christ, to share Him. Amen? And so I'm just excited to be here and to say, you know, missions is about Jesus Christ. It's about taking that person and taking him into all the world. And I want you, I'm going to read, I want to get to a passage, and I want to get to a place, but I'm asking you, join with me as we walk through a little bit of God's Word to get to the place where we want to be. We're going to start a journey, but to get there, we're going to have to walk through God's Word in a couple places. In fact, two chapters. But there's one thing at the end of the chapter that it says, I feel God says, hit it. And we want to do that. In the book of Daniel, chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged Jerusalem. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, into the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Aspenaz, master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, some of the king's descendants, some of the nobles, young men, in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom he might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. The king announced to them, appointed to them a daily provision of the king's delicacies. And there was a wine which he had given them to drink, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time of 3 years, they might serve before the king. Now from among those who were the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names, and to gave to Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Meshiel Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And I just want to stop there, because there is a decision that we have to make in our walk. Will we be defiled by what is from the king of this world, as it were? Are we going to let defilement come into our life? Now, defilement there probably meant that he wasn't going to eat some of the meats. Could have been pork, which Jews did not partake of. Some of the things could have maybe as a Nazirite, the wines and so forth. So in the natural, there were some things there that he said, in partaking of these, I might be breaking some of the commandments of God that God had given to me. So he purposed in his heart, no, I'm not going to take the chance of defiling myself as a Jewish follower of Jesus Christ. I want to abstain from that. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all of the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of the delicacies and the wine that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all of the literature and wisdom, and Daniel to understand all the visions and dreams. Now listen, there's something that happens when we make a dedication in our life that we will not give in. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to back down on our walk with God. What happens is it opens a doorway for God to come in, and God gave them favor, and God gave them wisdom and knowledge that all of the rest didn't have. Why? Because they made a commitment. We're going to stand. We're going to believe the Lord God, and we want to walk in His ways. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to give in and partake of something that we should not do as people of God. And God bless them. Amen? Now, we aren't there. We're going. Hallelujah. We'll get there. Verse 19, the king interviewed them among all them all. None was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore they served before the king. And in the matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all of the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Hallelujah. There's just a benefit of following Jesus Christ, isn't there? Hallelujah. Chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I've had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. The Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation. And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. And they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we'll give it interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certainty that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. And if you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak a lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. And the Chaldeans answered and said to the king, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matters. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of magicians, astrologers, and the Chaldeans. It is a difficult thing that you have requested. And there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious, and he gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. And when the council, and then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered and Arioch, captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, king's captain, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and he asked the king and gave him time, to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made known the decision to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and his companions, and that they might seek mercies from God of heaven concerning the secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. The secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells in him. I thank you and praise you, O God, of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what is asked of you, and you have made known to us the king's demand. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and he said, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king, and he said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to you the king's, to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have and its interpretation? Daniel answered, oh, hallelujah. In the presence of the king, the secret of which the king has demanded, the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven, hallelujah, who reveals secrets. And he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, the thoughts came into your mind upon your bed and about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than any living, anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching and behold a great image. This image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image head was of fine gold, and its chest and arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs and iron of iron, and its feet partly iron and partly clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay, and it broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that there was no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain, and it filled the whole earth. And this is the dream. Now, we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. And the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens, he has given them into your hands and has made you a ruler over them. You are the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Then another and a third kingdom of bronze shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Whereas you saw the feet of toes, partly potter's clay and partly iron, the kingdom shall be divided. There yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, there will be the mingling of the seed of men, but there will be adhering, but they will not adhere one to another, just as iron does not mix with clay. In the latter days, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to you, the king, what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Then King Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, fell on his face and prostrate before Daniel, commanded that they should send presents and offerings and incense to him. And the king answered Daniel and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, and a revealer of the secrets that you revealed the secret to the king." Now, I want to come to that one thing, and that's the stone. Hallelujah. Because this stone speaks of a man and his kingdom. It speaks of God who has hit the nations of the world. The kingdoms of men are going to be fallen because there is a stone that is coming in the last days, he said, that will hit the kingdom. And that stone will grow gradually. It will expand. It will encompass the entire globe. I want you to know that that stone is talking about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That stone does two things. Number one, it destroys the kingdom of men. Number two, it starts forming the kingdom of God all over the earth. Missions work is here to do two things. Jesus said, "I am come to destroy the works of the devil." Hallelujah. It is a destructive thing that is ruling in our earth today. But you know what? With the coming of Jesus Christ, with the birth of Jesus Christ, the King came. Hallelujah. Out of the mountains of heaven without hands, God formulated. Listen, there's a lot of sermons we could preach about these two chapters, but I want to focus on one thing. Hallelujah. Because missions work is about Jesus Christ. It's about the King of Kings and it's about the Lord of Lords. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Surely your God is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords." Hallelujah. And I'm excited about Jesus Christ this morning because I know that there is something that's happening in the earth today. We are seeing a collision of the forces of the enemy and the forces of the kingdom. Now listen, in case you're excited about who's going to be elected and what's going to happen, just read the end of the book and you know who wins. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 20 and 21 and 20 and 22, you know what is happening in the last day. I want us to focus on the fact that that stone hit the image in the latter, as it hits on the feet of iron and clay, it begins to disseminate, it begins to destroy, it begins to blow apart all of the former kingdoms, and it begins to start encompassing the earth. The work of the Christians, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached into all the world, and then shall the end come. I cannot tell you exactly when Jesus is coming. I do not know the day. I do not know the hour. But I know it's close at hand. Amen. Hallelujah. And there is a job to be done until that event sounds, until the trumpet sound, until the cry is made, come up yonder. There is a work to be done. That work is done by those people who go forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and God said in His Word, how beautiful are the feet, hallelujah, of those that carry Jesus Christ into all the world. There is a slow process. The kingdom of God is being built even now. It's not what it will be, but it is already being established by the time that Jesus Christ came and was born of a virgin. That kingdom started growing. Hallelujah. The image was already shaken and rocking. Hallelujah. And there is a slow progression. Every time you go forth and manifest Jesus and minister Jesus Christ, the kingdom is coming and it is being exposed. And I'm excited today because of what missions is about. One word. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about manifesting and ministering all that He is, all that He was, and all that He will ever be. And so today, as we're gathered here today with missions as basically what we're here for. Jesus, God said in Luke, and he beheld them, and He said, "What is this that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, and whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but on whom it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder." Hallelujah. Now listen, Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 2 and verse 14, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." There's a job to be done. There's a gospel to preach. There's a Jesus Christ to be preached and manifested. And that is part of what is happening today. And that is why we are here today, because we say we are and we want to be part of that army. Hallelujah. Amen. That stone started small. And when you started with Jesus Christ, it was a small thing. It was a little baby. It was God born of a virgin, totally God because He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, totally man because He was born of the Virgin Mary. That stone started small, but it began to expand. Hallelujah. It was not a great movement. It was not a stadium packed with thousands of people, but it was in the little back part of Bethlehem in a stable that a baby was born that was going to impact the generations, the cultures, and the whole world. Hallelujah. Amen. It started small, but it continued to grow. It grew a little here, and it grew a little there. Hallelujah. And in the life of 3.5 years of preaching on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel's accord, there were those who came, there were those who followed, there were good times and there were bad times. There were times when there were thousands of people were flocking to be healed, to be fed. But then there came a time when Jesus said to His disciples, He said, "Are you going to leave also?" They said, "Well, where are we going to go?" Because there came a time when Jesus said, "Listen, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part of me." They said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 wait a minute." Things begin to fan away. People begin to run. Because Jesus came for one thing. He didn't come to set up His kingdom at that time on this earth. But it started. And it was growing on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. As Peter stood up and began to preach, the power of the Holy Spirit fell. And thousands of people came to Jesus Christ. Days later, again, thousands. And the Lord added to the church. That kingdom is expanding. And Jesus said, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And I'm here to declare to you today that we have a God who has an expanding kingdom. It's a growing kingdom. Listen, each of us and every believer has a part in the building of the kingdom of God. You say, "No, that's just for preachers." That's wrong. It's for every. "These signs shall follow them that believe." Hallelujah. And God, you know, God doesn't use just people who are trained in high class. And my heart goes out with you because I'm a teacher of the Word of God too. But you know what? God uses common people and He trains them. He makes disciples of them. And He conforms them into His image and into His likeness. And you know, and let me just divert from a moment, because you see, God's plan is not just to get people. Let me go back to the Old Testament to confirm something that I want to say. God's plan is not just to get people out of Egypt, but it's to get Egypt out of the people. God's plan is to get people to conform into the image of Jesus Christ so that He might manifest His glory. The purpose of the Christian is not to go to heaven and keep from going to hell. The purpose of the Christian being born today is to be conformed to the image of God so that they might become manifestors and ministers of the life of Jesus Christ. That they might be changed, that they might be transformed, that they might show the glory of God. God wants the people all around us to know how good God is, how big God is, how powerful God is. And if they can't see it in us, where will they see it? You are His witnesses. You are His ambassadors. Little by little, the kingdom grows. The name is made known. And Jesus' kingdom is being established in our hearts and through our lives. He is moving and manifesting in the day to day. I'm excited because of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I recognize that His word says, and the Lord, and after these things, the Lord appointed 70 also, and He sent them out two by two before His face to every city and every place whither He Himself would come. Therefore He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. Hallelujah. Go your ways. Behold, I have sent you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. And I believe what our brother said, because it's the word of God. We're about to see a harvest in these last days. God is going to pour out His latter rain, the former rain and the latter rain, and the moving of His Holy Spirit. Joel said, I will pour out Thy Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. I believe that we are posed, and there are a lot of people that are looking for Antichrist and all of that. Stop looking for that junk. Start looking for the revival. Start looking for the moving of God's Spirit, because God is going to move. God's going to have His way. God's going to build a church. Hallelujah. It's not going to go slithering and wimping out of the church, out of this earth. I'll tell you what. I believe God's people are going to go out of the earth the same way God's people went out of Egypt. There was not a sick one among them. They were all healthy. And they walked out. Hallelujah. They didn't have to carry our people out on beds. They walked out healthy. Why? Because God was there. And I believe we're going to see the same thing in the days we're living in. A tremendous move of God's Spirit. And the church is going to be the greatest thing. Hallelujah. That's happening on the face of the earth. I enjoy reading Joel. Listen, it may be that there is an army. It may be that we are confronting things. But here's the key and here's the secret. As they begin to fast and begin to pray, as they begin to seek God and weep between the porch and the altar, God said, I will come in and I will move that army from that has come against you. And I will pour out My Spirit, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions in these latter days. I believe God's Spirit is about to move in a way that we have dreamed about. But we say, how can it happen? I know how it happens. It happens as we seek God's face. It happens as we cry out to the Lord. And we start. Listen, God has never moved where there hasn't been people that are seeking His face. And I say, God, I want to be one of those. Hallelujah. That is crying out to the Lord in these last days. Mark chapter 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in My name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Here's Romans, and we know the scripture. But what the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That word of faith which we proclaim, that if we will confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Jesus will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all who call upon Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without someone to preach to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth in Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That stone was none other than Jesus Christ. And as it began to encompass the earth and began to grow, God is saying that Jesus and His kingdom is a growing, expanding, moving thing that's taking place on the earth even today. Every one of us has a part in the building or the tearing down of the kingdom. Our lives will bear witness that Jesus is moving forward and upward and encompassing the earth, or our lives will say otherwise. You are living epistles, known, read, understand by people that watch you. I look and I say, God, You've given us a big task. You know what? The task is small compared to the bigness of our God. Hallelujah. He is greater. He is Almighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I look at Jesus Christ and I say, Lord Jesus, You're altogether lovely. Amen. He's Almighty God. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He's the bread of life. He's the bright morning star. He's the day star. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the door. He said, by Me, if any man will come in, they shall find rest. He is the Emmanuel. He is the faithful and true witness. He is God. He's the head of the church. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's our hope. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Messiah. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Redeemer. He's the resurrection and the life. He's my Savior. He's my Shepherd. He's my God. He's the Vine. He's the Way. He's the Truth. He's the Life. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Word of God, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Hallelujah! My heart rejoices when I hear His name, because at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. At the name of Jesus, salvation comes. He is the altogether lovely one. Hallelujah! In Genesis, we see Him as the seed of the woman. In Exodus, He's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He's the great high priest. In Numbers, He's the cloud of fire. In Deuteronomy, He's the prophet like Moses. In Joshua, He's the captain of our salvation. And on through every book of the Bible, you can find Jesus Christ is there, attesting to the fact that God loves people. Hallelujah! He is the altogether lovely. I could not make it without Him. He is my source. He is my strength. He is my Savior. Hallelujah! When I was younger, I could run in my own strength. And there were times that I would say, God, if You want a hole in that wall, I'll make one for You. And so God said, go for it. I'd hit the wall. No hole. But you know what? As I've gotten older, I got to say, God, if You want a hole in that wall, You got to make it. Hallelujah. Because I recognize my strength is not from my youth. It's not from my energy. It's not from my knowledge. It's not from where I have been or whom I am associated with, but it's from the Lord of glory. God is my strength and my power. He is my hope and my eternal reward. I trust Him. I love Him. I embrace Him. God's people will go forward when they learn to fall in love with Jesus Christ and His presence again. Hallelujah! I love to get up in the morning and just sit in the presence of the living God, because I find in His presence, hallelujah, as I am quiet before the presence of Jesus Christ, the moving of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, there is impartation that brings transformation and revelation that is released because the presence of God is there. And I say, God, that's the key. Jesus Christ, the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Word of God in our lives, it brings us that which we need to fulfill the steps and the tasks where He sends us to go. Amen. Hallelujah. And I say, God, I cannot make it without You. I cannot make it without You. Not one moment. Not one day. You are altogether lovely. Say, Lord God, my heart cries out. There are times that I walk, and I walk down the alley, and I walk, have this little circuit. There are times that I go by and I feel God there just walking. Times that I weep in the presence of God and I said, God, why? Why have You blessed? Why have You been so good? Why? I don't understand. It seems like every step You're there, every need You supply. And when we face the battle, You're always there. And God says, in My presence is the key. As long as you walk in Me and allow Me to walk in you, we walk together. Because we realize I'm not a laborer alone. We are laborers together with God, and we are laborers together with our fellow men. We do not walk alone. Hallelujah. We have got to learn to walk in the presence of the Most High God and to walk in unity. I like that. To walk in humbleness with each other. And because I recognize the task that God gives to us is bigger than I can do alone. It's bigger than you and I can do alone. But across the arm, across the world, He has those that are part of the praying army. He has those that are part of the paying army. And He has those that are part of the preaching army. And they walk hand in hand, hallelujah. And they walk together to fulfill the great commission of sharing Jesus Christ, of ministering His love, His life. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Why should anyone have the privilege of hearing twice when there are multitudes who have not heard it once? I was surprised. We live in about 2 hours from here in a little place called Muncie, near Williamsport, where they play the Little League World Series. And there was one time years ago, I loved to play basketball with the kids out in the alley, and I got a lot of times to witness of Jesus to these kids. But as we were playing basketball and the kids were disseminating and guys were going in every direction, I walked down the alley and I met this one kid. And I talked to him a little bit and I found out this boy never heard of Jesus Christ and lived in Muncie, Pennsylvania. The only time he ever heard Jesus Christ is what came out of the mouth of his dad when he was mad. And I said, oh God, Muncie, churches on every corner. And then we had a man who was a teacher in the high school, and he became principal of the high school, and then he became superintendent of the district. And while they lived just next to our property there in Muncie, and him and I would have great times of walking and hunting and fishing and doing a lot of things together. But I got to know the man. He was a Methodist. There were times that our church, the old church building we're living in, we're in the new facility, and There were times in the old church building when it would get warm in the summer. We didn't have air conditioning because it was an old building, upstairs sanctuary. So we'd open up the windows. And so we'd open up the windows and the neighbors would sit out and listen. And they'd listen to the music. And every now and then, you know, you'd have a neighbor pull you over and say, "Boy, you guys were really getting with it this morning." And there were people that would sit there and listen to the preaching. And so this Dick and I, his name was Dick, and we'd get to talking. And so it just happened to open up one day that I got into Jesus Christ with him. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I attended the Methodist church all my life, and I have never heard the gospel one time in all the years that I went to church." And I said, "That's a tragedy. I had the privilege of leading that man to Jesus Christ, praying with him. He's dead today, and I believe he's in heaven because he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior." We had a neighbor that lived across. Well, you know, this is one of the things that we've learned. He said, "God, I believe where you place us is a mission field." And so we've been praying for all of the neighbors. Across the alley, on the other side, we have an old man. He was a gardener. And he loved to work in the garden. And he had the most beautiful garden out of all of the... So I'd get little hints from him because I'd like to work in the garden. Kind of way to, you know, spend your energy and get some recreation, get your mind off of... So I'd go out there and work in the garden. I'd go over and see John. I'd say, "John, what do you plant at this time of the year?" He'd go through the list, you know. "Well, okay, it's in the spring. You need to plant lettuce. You need to plant some onions, you know, and some radishes. That's early crop." And so we'd go back and forth. You know what? That man went to the Methodist church also. But he got offended when they sold we bought the old Methodist church building. And when they sold that, he got offended. Him and his wife, he said, "We were married in that church building. Our kids were raised in that church building. And they want to build a new building." He said, "That building was good enough. Why didn't they keep it?" So he got mad and quit church. So you know, the time got to where we got friendships developed. But I began to share with him Jesus Christ. And I was privileged, before he died, to lead that man to Jesus Christ. Years later, his wife struggled. She never really wanted to yield and give in to Jesus Christ. But, you know, as she got a terminal illness, and I'd go and we'd talk, and in the hospital as I prayed for her, hallelujah, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. We had, where Dick and his wife lived, there's a new couple moved in. And they were solid Catholics. She prayed to St. Jude and St. Christopher and all of the saints, and I'd tell her, I said, "Listen, why don't you just go to the head, you know, why didn't you just go to the head of the line? Why do you go through all these people to get to Jesus Christ?" And we'd have, and her dear husband, I got to pray with him and lead him to the Lord, and finally, you know, it took a struggle to get all the Catholicism out of her, but finally she prayed and received Jesus Christ. You see, this is what it's all about. I didn't think it was a task. I didn't think it was something that I had to do. But I loved Jesus Christ, and I wanted them to fall in love with the one that I was in love with. And I said, "Hey, God's not willing that they should perish. I would rather see them come to Jesus Christ than to say I love them too much to offend them." I didn't care if they were offended or what they were. I tried to be as gentle and tried to be as open as I can. But I realized that when we fall in love with Jesus Christ, sharing Him, ministering Him, manifesting Him, declaring Him is no problem at all. And my prayer is for the Church of America and for the Church of the world. Let God help us to fall in love afresh with the King of Kings, with the Lord of Lords, with the Almighty God, with God in human flesh, with Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the Father but through Him. Hallelujah. God, help me to fall in love. Oh, God. You know, our walk with Jesus, I gotta quit. It's time. But our walk with Jesus is a little bit like our marriage. if we aren't careful, had a little cute thing we married years ago. The relationship and the feeling and the spark and the joy can go out of it. I love my wife. Yeah, her and God do a good job. Keep trying to keep me level. Oh, God. But you know, in a marriage, the emotions that you had before over the years can die. But I believe we got to renew that. That has to keep being renewed. Amen. And I think in our walk with Jesus Christ, sometimes the joy that we experienced, we begin to lose it as trials and life and all of these things. And my prayer is, God, help us to be renewed in the love for Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, in us, and through us. Oh God, You are all together lovely. Sharing You, ministering You is not a task, it's a joy. I love